Welcome to the ALC Podcast, a product of Abundant Living Church in Southern California, with Pastors David and Doris Flores. Our pastor's vision is to see lives changed and rearranged by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is special because it's from God just for you, and we believe it carries an anointing to change lives. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Been really ministering to me about confidence and identity, specifically since I am, you know, almost 30. I'm 27, but I just feel like I'm at a phase in my life where things are changing and going through transitions a lot, just with career and life in general, and just my own personal perspective on life. So I feel like refocusing on confidence and identity, even though you might think, well, I was insecure like in junior high when I had acne or was afraid to talk to the opposite sex. But I think as adults, we also go through different insecurities that we may not realize are insecurities or just lack of confidence in different areas. And we might get used to doing things that are comfortable and things that we're good at and things that we know. And so we have confidence in those things. But for the things that we're not so good at or don't know too much about, we may have a lack of confidence in those areas. And I think that it's important that if God has given you a passion or a grace for something, and you might be scared to do it or change something, to not be afraid and to receive the confidence that God has given you as an individual. So in order to do that, we have to break things down. So how many of you guys play sports currently? Brad and Joe. Brad, is this your first year playing football? Yeah, so can you come up here for a second? And Joe, this is your first year playing football? No, second year? Yeah? I can't tell. You nodded for both. First year, second year? Second year, okay. So Brad, this is your first time playing football. How do you like it?
It's fun.
It's fun. I didn't tell Bradley I was bringing him up here, so he just happened to raise his hand. So were you scared to try out for football?
A little bit.
What were you scared most about football? Just one thing.
Concussion.
A concussion. And how do you get a concussion in football?
You hit your head.
You hit your head. And are you in a position specifically where your head would be hit, like, statistically a lot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what position?
Lineman.
A lineman. So, George, you're the expert at football. Self-proclaimed, I just call him the expert. Someone else might be an expert, too, but I just look at George as the expert in football. Do linemen get hit a lot? Yes. So, did you learn ways to defend yourself from getting a concussion?
Yeah, I did.
On your first game, do you feel like you were prepared to deflect what was coming to you in order to not get a concussion?
I think so.
Were you still scared?
Not really.
Okay.
After the first hit, you get over it.
After the first hit, you get over it. So did you just like accept that you're going to get hit? Or is it every time you like brace yourself and think I might get hit and it may hurt, but you're just like, no, it's gonna happen inevitably?
I think like because of the adrenaline, like you don't think about it. So
you don't think about it. But do you think if you were to go in without any practice that you would have the same attitude?
Yeah.
You think so? Yeah, because you're like not scared about it. Because that was just your biggest fear about it. Okay, and how did you know about concussions in football?
Movies?
From movies. Okay. Did you ever watch football?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. Did you ever play football on video games?
No.
Okay. So your background of football was movies and television. Okay. Thank you. Let's give Bradley a round of applause for playing 21 Questions with Courtney. So basically, the point of that was that Bradley had never played football before, but he had heard about concussions through TVs and movies specifically, and therefore was a fear of his of getting a concussion while he was actually playing. But did it stop him from playing? No. Because he learned how to deflect the blocks. My football knowledge is not great, so I'm just really trying to logically say these things. He learned how to deflect blocks, right? Yeah, push people. I don't know what they do. But the point is that when you're doing something new, when you're doing something that you've never done before, when you're going to uncharted territories, you do a little research, right? You watch TV, you watch movies, and you kind of identify the things that you think might be hard to overcome. For Bradley, that was the only thing he thought. It's just concussions, which was scary, but the risk factor of playing wasn't that great because he was like, I may or may not get hit, I may or may not get a concussion, I'm still going to play anyways, even if I've never played before in my life. That's pretty bold. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys just did something like that, just out of the blue. Some of you guys for jobs, like applying for jobs, it's like you need all these lists of things or requirements to get that job, and you're just like, I think I can do it. I've never actually done it, but reading it, I think I can. You kind of evaluate the risk, right? From applying, you say, I may have trouble doing these things, may not have trouble doing these things, but I'm still going to apply anyways. The point is that we do research, we calculate the risks, and then we make our decision based off that, right? The normal common person does that. So if it's something that's scary or something that doesn't add up in our head logically, or something it looks like you can't overcome it or can't conquer it or can't master it, do you guys think, raise of hands, saying that you would still do it if all odds were stacked against you? If you like looked ahead of time and thought, probably not going to do that because I'm afraid of this. Probably not going to do that because there's too much risk in this. Raise your hand if you were like going to still do it anyways. It can be anything. Okay, Don is proclaiming he's a daredevil slash risk taker like no other. So some of you guys have gotten to a point where you don't mind the risks, right? Yeah, and you guys are like fearless in those things and taking risks. Well, that would be called confidence. Okay, so Trin and Don just self-proclaimed confidence. Just joking. But ultimately, that would come down to confidence, right? Yeah, so how do you have confidence? What is confidence? Do we have a definition of confidence? Sam's looking at me like, no, you didn't give me one. But I can look one up for you as well. I mean, we can kind of like, everyone knows the word confidence. We've heard about confidence. I mean, I can think of my first time hearing the word confidence was probably with like my mom at home and her just being like, Courtney, you just need to like walk with confidence because I was always really tall and taller than everybody else in my class. And I just didn't feel confident because I was tall. And if you like look back at it, you're like, that's so weird. But I didn't look like everybody else because everybody else was way shorter than me. Everyone came up to my shoulders and I just felt like a giant walking on campus all the time. And my mom would be like, just walk up straight. You need to be confident. So the word confidence means the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something firm in trust. So that's one type of confidence. Okay, another type of confidence, the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. And the third definition, a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. And that's the type of confidence I'm going to focus on today. So let me read that again. It's a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. Okay, so it is a feeling. So we don't really talk much about feelings, except the feelings we get from the Holy Spirit, right? That he, you know, guides you this way and that way. But I think the feeling of confidence is an important thing because I think lack of confidence, which is also another feeling, and the opposite of having confidence, is something that drives a lot of our decisions and drives a lot of our thinking. And if we want to focus on lack of confidence, we can. But today we're just going to focus on having confidence because if you're not having confidence, you're going to have lack of confidence. That's just how it is. It's not like the feeling of anger where it just, you know, anger and happiness, like, cancels out. So there's always a canceling out feeling, right? Thing about feelings is we can always change our feelings, right? So Bradley went from being scared of concussions to not being that scared of concussions because he played. He said once he had the first hit, that was done. He knew what it felt like. He knew what to expect. That lack of confidence of maybe getting hit changed to confidence in thinking, I can handle getting hit. So maybe there's things in your life that you're not so confident about, and it can be any transitional thing. It can be any major decision. It can be something that's coming up in your life that you have to do, whether it's a test or whether it's like, you know, an interview or whatever. The point is that you need confidence or you're going to have lack of confidence. So we always talk about our identity, and we just did a series in young adults called Identity in Christ. And so that's kind of the concept that we find our identity in who Christ is. So when people ask you, like, where are you from? We're all going to yell out at once where you're from. All right? So where are you from? Okay, so some of you might have had a hard time saying where you're from because you're, like, thinking, is that where I was born? Is it where I live now? Is it where I spent my childhood? Is it where I spent majority of my life? Is it where my parents are from? Is it where my grandparents are from? I mean, there are so many different ways you can answer that question. Some of you guys were like, Whittier, right? So the point is that we're all from somewhere, right? And the common person that we're all from is Jesus, because we're all in his bloodline, and we've been talking about the bloodline of Jesus. And most of our series, I know for the women, and, you know, my dad talks about it, we're all children of God, and, you know, all that stuff. But your own personal identity is also important to forming who you are as an individual. And it's not by mistake, it's not by accident that you're from certain places. And even though you were born somewhere else and taken somewhere else after that, you know, that's not on accident. That's, you know, that's just how your life was. That's just how, what formed who you were. So when we don't know where we're from, we can become a wanderer. We can become lost. We can become confused. We can become something somebody else's. So there's this thing that I learned. So if you don't know, I will be teaching overseas next semester for 2 months. And yeah, it's only 2 months. Don't worry, I'll be back. But I will be in Italy, so I had to go for training for that. And so the first thing they talk to us about is, it's a term called a third culture kid. And it doesn't mean they're from a third world country. It just means that they are living in a culture or a different country that is different than their birth country or different from their passport country. And so it basically just talks about, we basically learned, you know, who these kids are. They could be army kids, they can be missionary kids, pastor's kids, whatever. Just basically kids who are living in a country that's not their home. So the bottom line is that these kids kind of struggle with identity. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, of course they struggle with identity. They're living in a foreign country. I mean, their parents may be with them. They may be gone from work, whatever. But the point is that these transitions and these phases of being in a different place where you're not from or being in a place that's unfamiliar is just how it is for us in life when we go through new things. So we also talked about how Jesus was a third culture kid. So looking back on the life of Christ, he was born in Bethlehem, right? He grew up like in a temple in Nazareth. So you can see like Jesus spent his life, and they say that Jesus was only on the earth for, what, 33 years? That's the estimate of when he died. It's at the age of 33. But if you look at his life, he was all over the place. He went from place to place preaching. And, you know, that was part of his calling, was just being in different places all the time. But as humans, when we go from place to place, oftentimes we can take that as a loss. Sometimes it seems like a happy situation, and it is a happy situation that you're going to, but ultimately you're leaving the place you were from home. So that you were from before, sorry. And like if you've moved a ton of times, or if you've changed schools, or if you've you know, had a death in the family and it changed the dynamics, it's literally like the same thing as loss. So if you're, you know, when you deal with loss, like when you deal with a death in the family, you have to grieve that person, right? And I know a lot of you guys have had deaths in the family, so that's a pretty common thing. But looking at transitional things, that's also a loss. So with loss, you still have to grieve. So you may not have grieved that transition, or grieved that past part of your life, right? And just moved on into your next life. And because of that, you're taking everything you have from that life into your new life, or into your new transition, into your new place of life, and it's ultimately affecting your identity. It's affecting your confidence, and it's affecting your perspective on yourself and on your life. And so I just thought that was pretty mind-blowing because I never really thought about moving houses as such a imprint on your life, or moving schools, or but no, they like say that it's just as intense mentally and emotionally and physically as losing a family member. It's that intense. So thinking about your own life, you might think, well, I haven't lived in like other countries, and I mean, we know Bradley has, obviously, if you didn't know. But some of you might have, some of you might have not, but some of you might have had gone through transitional times in your life where you didn't look at that as a loss, and you're still grieving that situation without realizing that you are. And you are wondering why your lack of confidence in certain areas, or why your self, you know, perspective is so negative or gets so low, and it's because you haven't dealt with everything in your life. You haven't dealt with every situation in your life. You haven't come to peace with every situation. You haven't grieved any of those losses. You just kind of like moved on, because that's just what life is, right? You just move on. And I know, like we talked about in the women's, Sanj said, oh yeah, we just like get up and go and move on. And my mom said, how do you move on? Right? How do you move on? Like, it's so easy to just say, get up and move on. Get up and say, you know, I'm Courtney and I can do this, and be empowered. But if I'm not dealing with my own sense of loss, if I'm not dealing with my own identity and my confidence, like, do you think like that confidence is going to be lasting? Do you think that my view of myself or your view of yourself is going to be lasting enough to withstand a tribulation, to withstand another transition, to withstand another change in your life? I mean, you have to think about that. And God built us to last. Like, he didn't build us to go from one bad thing to the next, or one hurdle to the next. Like, life isn't, you know, always going to be happy and amazing. Like, bad things happen, and we don't know why. That's probably one of my favorite Disney quotes. But if you know the movie, you can tell me later. But the point is that if we're not secure in who we are, it's easy to get overthrown by that circumstance. It's easy to let that dictate who you are. It's easy to let that change your perspective and change your mindset. So I just want to talk about so some challenges of going through these transitions. You know, it impacts your academic career, so there might be holes in your academics. It impacts your career in general. It impacts your family. It impacts your marriage. You have difficulty planning, relationship management. There's so many cons, or there's so many bad things that can happen, or based off of those things that are unavoidable for you. So it's not like it's your fault for going through these things. The point is that God loves us enough that he wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know that you're loved. He wants you to know that you can do it. He wants you to know that you can go forth in confidence, and you can do whatever he's called you to do. Or you can minister to somebody. Or you can speak to somebody. Or you can overcome your circumstance. You can get out of whatever hole you're in, right? And that's what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to look at all the challenges. I mean, literally, if I show you guys, these are 3 pages of challenges. So of things that you go through when you're going from loss to loss. Look how many challenges there are. That would be all the long columns, right? And the benefits are really short. But there are benefits, obviously. It made you who you were. It made you stronger. It made you more cultured. It made you understand people. It made you understand different situations, right? But oftentimes we see those challenges and they're just so overwhelming, and we just don't even deal with whatever happened in that situation. We don't deal with the results. We don't deal with that. Instead, we just sweep it under the rug and move on with our lives. That is one way of living life. And I'm sure you guys can think of a situation that might not have been that major, you know what I mean, that you kind of just swept it under the rug. But it's still part of who you are. It's still part of your story. It's still part of your life. It's a part of your testimony. And when I hear people say, I don't have a testimony, it literally irks me, because I'm like, yes, you do. Because God brought you out of that transition. God brought you out of that phase in your life, whatever it was. And that is your testimony, right? So ultimately, the testimony is just kind of the revelation that you get from your past situations. That's what your testimony is, right? So revelations meaning you see the good in it, or revelations meaning you see why it happened, if that's what you were praying about, or revelations in being like, you know, I went through this and I don't know why, or what good is God giving me? Because, you know, God says in his Bible, it says God works out things for the good of those who love him. And you might think, well, that situation was bad, so how? Why did God give me a bad situation? Well, my dad always says, and it's in the Bible, it's biblical, like God doesn't do bad things to people, right? God is good. That's what it says in the Bible. God is good. So when bad things happen, it's not God punishing you. It's not, you know, the man out to get you. But it's just life. And unfortunately, we have to deal with life. But the positive and the reason we have hope and the reason we can be excited and the reason we can move on with our lives and see past those circumstances is because God is good. God is love. God is great. God is powerful. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. You know, there is so many things about God that we can start saying that will just erectify your belief on that current situation and change your mindset and just say, you know what, I am going to accept who God is. So in the Bible, Jesus says, I am a lot of times, right? So he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. I am the salt of the earth. I am the good shepherd. Does anybody know any other I ams? I am the way. I am the light. I am the I am. I am Jehovah Jireh. This is not a test either, so don't worry. This is just to make a point that God says in the Bible, and I mean, I'm sure we can look it up, and I did just read it, but I didn't write it down, sorry. But there is a certain number of times in the Bible where God says, I am something. And the point is that Jesus, he went through so many transitions in his life. Jesus went through so many phases in his life, but yet he still continued to declare with his mouth and tell others who he was. And I really believe that whenever we say things with our mouths, that it really changes you on the inside. You start to believe it. So when you say something, you start to believe it. Like you say, I'm great at volleyball. I mean, you might not be that great, but if you keep practicing and you keep telling yourself you're great, do you think you're at least going to be able to play a game of volleyball? Yeah, why not? Right? Anyone can play. Or you want to shoot a basket, and you're like, I am awesome at shooting baskets. And you're like, I have never shot a basket before in my life. But if you're like, I know sports, I mean, I don't really know statistically, but I would say, like, sports are what, Trent? 60% mental, 70% mental? Yeah, around that. The point is that it is a lot, a really high percentage of how much confidence you need just to play sports, right? If you're running, I remember at school when I was little, we'd like run the mile run, and that would just be the worst thing in my mind. I would think, how can I run a mile run? Like, A, I'm in a dress. B, we just got off of lunch. Shouldn't have eaten that turkey, but they ask you to run a mile. And I don't know if this was everybody. I'm probably just the only person that hated the mile run growing up. But I literally would be like, there's no way I can run the mile. It just looks too long to think about running around the entire field at school. Like, how am I going to do that? But they literally expect every kid to run a mile. Whether you believe it or not that you can run a mile, guys, you pretty much can run a mile. Even today, I'm sure you can run a mile. At least walk it if you have other joint disabilities. But you can still go for a mile. Right? But as a kid, I didn't believe that. I was like, they're crazy. I can't last a mile. I'm going to get a side ache. I'm going to be last, and it's going to be embarrassing. I don't even run. Like, I mean, I'm probably in like second or third grade, like at this point, which is not true because I did play softball. So we did run, but not for that long in my mind. And these girls were running like, you know, 7-minute miles, 9-minute miles, and I'm like 12-minute mile. Right? The point is that I did the mile, even thinking I couldn't do the mile, Right? I know. Can you believe it? I know. In order to pass PE, you got to run a mile, though. At my school. I don't know how it is today, but the point is that we have a lot of power inside of us where we can tell ourselves, like, I am great. I am awesome. I am going to overcome the situation. I am going to get out of the situation. I am going to go into my job and own it. I am going to be able to talk to somebody. I am going to be able to reach out to somebody. I am going to change someone's life, right? Just think about all the I ams that you've said about yourself this past week and how many of them have been positive and how many of them have been negative, right? If we start keeping a journal of all the times we say I am, we might sound really selfish, but Jesus also said I am. And I really believe it's because it was his confidence. That was his identity, was talking about who he was in God. So if you're struggling with something and you want to get to the other side, or you think it's greener on the other side, or whatever goal you're going towards, and it can be any situation, start saying who you are. Who are you? Who is Art? Right? Who is Bradley? Right? I'm not going to say everybody's name. But who is Courtney? That is my name. Who is Courtney? And in different situations, we need to be, you know, use different strengths. We need to do something else that we're not used to doing. But the point is that we need to figure out who we are. We need to say who we are. And we need to believe who we are. And we need to have that confidence in who we are and who God has made you to be. And, I mean, I can name a few things, just general ones that God has said about everybody, is that we are loved, right? We are overcomers. We are his children, right? So those are some good ones that, like, you can just start. If you don't even know, like, you're literally like, I have no idea who I am. I literally just go through my day and go about my life. And maybe, like, believing who you are will help you to have more fun in your life. Maybe have more confidence to talk to somebody and tell them about Jesus, or have more confidence to join a new friend group, or have confidence to join, you know, a workout class that you've always wanted to do, or join a bowling class. I don't know. Something that can, you know, help you overcome that insecurity, overcome those struggles, and be who God has called you to be. You might think, well, I don't know who God, what God has called you to be. But a good starting point is that God has called all of us to love him, to love others, and to love ourselves, right? So if you're loving others and you're serving others, you're already in God's calling. That is what he's asked us to do. He has asked us to love people. He has asked us to serve people. He has asked us to be his hands and feet, right? That's like a literal thing, hands and feet, right? We all have hands. We all have feet. And you can do so many things with your hands. When you're helping people, you can carry stuff for people, you can deliver things to people, you can wash their car, right? So I just want to encourage you guys tonight that to look back in your life and look at those transitions that were painful. Look at those transitions that you may not have dealt with and you didn't deal with them as a loss. And really have God heal you from that process. Like, ask him to help you to overcome that insecurity that you gained from that transition, or that insecurity, or that thought, or that feeling it gave you that was negative and still a driving force in your life, forcing you, or not even forcing you, but just, you know, directing your decisions to make based off of that situation. So at this conference, basically at the end, they are like, okay, so any unfinished business you have at home or in your personal life, you need to take care of it before you go overseas. So before I go overseas, they're like, you need to take care of any unforgiveness, any hurt relationships, anything you could think of. Because when you're in a different culture, those things tend to come to light. And those weigh heavy on your heart. And they become exhausting. And when you're giving of yourself, you become vulnerable. You become emotionally drained. And so anything that's inside of you is going to come out. And you might think, well, I am emotionally drained every week after my job. I am emotionally drained every week from taking care of my kids. I'm emotionally drained every week from practice. I'm emotionally drained every week from school. So, yeah, you guys, we are doing things that are going to emotionally drain you. We are doing things that are going to make you tired. And whatever is deep down inside of you will come to the surface. Because that's what happens. We're drained, we're tired, we're vulnerable, we've put in a lot of work, and whatever we're doing it to the best of our ability. And at the end of the day, you just want to, what, kick up your feet, relax, watch some TV, chill. But sometimes life doesn't let you do that, right? Sometimes you get a flat tire on a Friday, on your way home, stuck in 4 hours worth of traffic, right? And you're just like, great, this is the last thing I need at the end of my week. Now you can approach that situation and be like, it's all right, I'm going to call somebody, I'm going to change my own tire, whatever plan you have, you're going to execute it, and then you're going to go about your day. Or you're going to wear that situation on your sleeves, on your face, in your attitude, and just tell everybody, my week was awful because I had a flat tire, and it was just the cherry on top of my hard week, and all this stuff. So you see the difference? Those are the two differences. Someone who is willing to deal with the bad, someone who's willing to deal with their situation, fix it, and move on, or somebody who is not willing to deal with all of their feelings involved in that situation, still has to fix it, right? Because you need to drive. But taking that situation, taking those feelings from that situation and carrying it over into your next situation. Now, a flat tire to you, some people, might not be a big deal. For someone like me who doesn't know how to change a tire, it is a huge deal. So I'm sure I can come up with other examples, but the point is that whatever you're facing in your life, if you don't deal with that situation, then you're just going to carry it into your next. And what that's going to do is just hinder your confidence. It's going to hinder your mission. It's going to hinder your calling. It's going to hinder your work. It's going to hinder your family time. It's going to hinder your relationships. It's just, it's going to be something that you're inevitably going to have to face, right? So if you feel like you're not being confident in certain areas of your life, if you feel like you're lacking that motivation, if you feel like you're lacking that drive, you're lacking like this feeling of not knowing what to do with your life, it's because you're not confident and you're not finding your identity in God and who he says you are. So not to like tell you guys you need to do this, but just to encourage you guys, like, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be this place of wondering. It doesn't have to be this place of not knowing. Like, God's not trying to withhold information from you. He's not trying to make you guess all the time. He's not trying to make you figure things out, which is awesome, because did you guys ever take those tests where you're like, okay, you're having a test, a surprise test, pop quiz. Anybody ever take a pop quiz in life, right? And you're like, why wasn't I informed? Why couldn't I prepare? Is this open book? Okay, God's not this teacher just giving you pop quizzes all the time and giving you a big fat F when you don't know the answers. He's letting you take an open book test. He's letting you use your books for your homework. He's letting you use the internet to Google the answer. Like, literally. He is actually giving you the answer when you're asking those questions. So I just want to encourage you guys, like, life might be hard and life might be, you know, tough sometimes, and life might not go the way you planned, and life might not work out the way you wanted, or you're just living and having fun but don't know what's ahead, and that's fine too. But the point is that as we go through our life, you're going to go through transitions. You're going to go through different phases. That's just how life is. You're going to go from being a child to a parent to a grandparent, okay? Those are three completely different transitions in your life. And for those who are already grandparents, we'll tell you, being a grandparent is very different from being a child. Right, Art? Right. So that's just one type of transition you're going to go through. You're probably going to move. You're probably going to change jobs. You're probably going to have new relationships. So the sooner you accept transition and welcome it and embrace it and deal with it, you could have confidence in those situations. You could have confidence moving forward and for future transitions, because we are also going to transition into heaven when we pass away, right? And on earth. And that's going to be an awesome transition, right? It's not a sad one. It's going to be an awesome one. But before we do that, we have to live now. We have to live our lives the way God has intended us to live. And that's with confidence. And that's being bold. That doesn't mean you have to be loud. Let's not confuse bold with loud. We just have to be confident in the decisions we're making. We have to be confident in knowing that God has empowered you to make decisions that are right for your life. God has empowered you to make decisions that are right for your family. God has empowered you to make decisions that are right for your job, right for your school, whatever phase in life you're at. Okay? So, not that fear is inevitable, but I really, really, really want to encourage you guys today to really self-reflect on areas that you might not feel confident in currently, and really focus on that situation and ask God to heal you from those past transitions. Ask God to bring restoration to you from those past transitions. Because you might not even know that that's there, that that hurt is there, that that grieving is there, that that loss is there. Or some of you guys just might need to brush up on who you are in Christ. Be reminded again. Like I said, when I was in junior high, you know, you're insecure. I mean, girls, yeah, we're really insecure in junior high. I mean, I'm sure boys are too, but I'm not a boy, so I can't say that. But I know for sure girls are very insecure, right? Okay? But sometimes when you're an adult, you feel very insecure too. And that's a real thing. It's not because, you know, you're a loser, so you feel insecure. No, it's just, you know, whatever that day happens and you just feel insecure about it. So recognize those insecurities. Recognize that you're not feeling great about yourself. You're not believing what God says about you. And start believing what God says about you. I just want to encourage you guys to, like, have a list of things that God says about you. So if you want to write down, like, 10 I ams, like, I am called, I am chosen, I am bold, I am a world changer, or whatever it is that you believe like God has called you to do and be, write them down. Remind yourself. Say them out loud. Be consistent with it, because that's the only way you're going to believe it. Okay? You know why I believe my name's Courtney? Because I had to say it all the time when they say, what's your name? Courtney. My parents called me Courtney. So you know what? I tell people when they ask me, what is your name? I say Courtney. How else would I know that without saying it over and over again or being called that over and over again? I wouldn't. No child would know their name without it being called to them or without them saying it. Right? There's the two ways a child knows their name. So why are we not identifying who we are and knowing what God calls us by name? Right? Because we're not saying it and we're not hearing God say it. We're not choosing to hear him say those words to us. We're not choosing to read his Bible and read those words to ourselves. And we're also not saying them. Okay? So, I just want to encourage you guys today. I always say that when I'm going to close. But for real, I'm closing. To encourage you guys to really believe the words that God says about you. And not the lies and not the circumstances that have happened to you, but believe God's words. Go forth in confidence and fulfill the calling on your life.
You've been listening to the ALC Podcast, a product of Abundant Living Church in Southern California, with Pastors David and Doris Flores. For more information about Abundant Living Church, check out our website at abundantlivingchurch.tv. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed week.